26. Douglas and Tom and Charlie came panting along the unshaded street. Tom, answer me true, now.
Answer what true?
Whatever happened to happy endings?
They got them on shows at Saturday matinees.
Sure, but what about life?
All I know is I feel good going to bed nights, Doug.
That's a happy ending once a day. Next morning I'm up, and maybe things go bad, but all I got to do is remember that I'm going to bed that night, and just lying there a while makes everything okay.
I'm talking about Mr. Forrester and old Miss Loomis.
Nothing we can do. She's dead.
I know. Don't you figure someone slipped up there?
You mean about him thinking she was the same age as her picture, and her a trillion years old all the time?
No, sir. I think it's swell.
Swell, for gosh sakes?
The last few days, when Mr. Forrester told me a little here or a little there, and I finally put it all together, boy, did I bawl my head off. I don't even know why. I wouldn't change one bit of it.
If you changed it, what would we have to talk about?
Nothing.
And besides, I like to cry. After I cry hard, it's like morning again, and I'm starting the day over.
I heard everything now.
You just won't admit you like crying, too. You cry just so long, and everything's fine. And there's your happy ending. And you're ready to go back out and walk around with folks again. And it's the start of gosh knows what all. Any time now, Mr. Forrester will think it over and see it's just the only way, and have a good cry, and then look around and see it's morning again, even though it's 5 in the afternoon.
That don't sound like no happy ending to me.
A good night's sleep, or a 10-minute ball, or a pint of chocolate ice cream, or all three together, is good medicine, Doug. You listen to Tom Spaulding, M.D.
Shut up, you guys, said Charlie. We're almost there.
They turned a corner. Deep in winter they had looked for bits and pieces of summer and found it in furnace cellars or in bonfires on the edge of frozen skating ponds at night. Now, in summer, they went searching for some little bit, some piece of the forgotten winter. Rounding the corner, they felt a continual light rain spray down from a vast brick building to refresh them as they read the sign they knew by heart. The sign which showed them what they'd come searching for. Summer's Ice House.
Summer's Ice House on a summer day. They said the words, laughing, and moved to peer into that tremendous cavern wherein 50, 100, and 200-pound chunks, the glaciers, the icebergs, the fallen but not forgotten snows of January slept in ammoniac steams and crystal drippings.
Feel that, sighed Charlie Woodman. What more could you ask? For the winter breath was exhaled again and again about them as they stood in the glary day, smelling the wet wood platform with the perpetual mist shimmering in rainbows down from the ice machinery above. They chewed icicles that froze their fingers, so they had to grip the ice in handkerchiefs and suck the linen.
All that steam, all that fog, whispered Tom.
The Snow Queen. Remember that story?
Nobody believes in that stuff. Snow Queens, now. So don't be surprised if this is where she came to hide out, because nobody believes in her anymore.
They looked and saw the vapors rise and drift in long swathes of cool smoke.
No, said Charlie. You know who lives here?
Only one guy. A guy who gives you goose pimples just to think of him. Charlie dropped his voice very low.
The Lonely One.
The Lonely One?
Born, raised, and lives here. All that winter, Tom. All that cold, Doug. Where else would he come from to make us shiver the hottest nights of the year? Don't it smell like him? You know darn well it does. The lonely one. The lonely one. The mists and vapors curled in darkness. Tom screamed. It's okay, Doug, Charlie grinned. I just dropped a little bitty hunk of ice down Tom's back, is all.